Jason Webster.
Turn your radio up.
This is BFBS.
Right, let's do this then. He's got a new film out on Netflix worldwide. It's called Special Correspondence. It features Eric Bana. It's really, really funny. And talking to me now about it is writer and star of Special Correspondence, Ricky Gervais. Hi, Ricky.
How's it going, man?
I watched Special Correspondence yesterday. Do you know what? I'm not just saying this. I genuinely loved it. I really, really did love it for a number of reasons. One, it was just really funny. And two, have you been spying in our office? Because it was very similar to what goes on at BFBS.
Yeah, it's I started off in local radio. So I still got a secret love for radio. But obviously the idea is really having a go at sort of media and journalism. Not in a terrible way. It's more that temptation of, if you can lie, will you lie? And this is about a couple of guys who get thrown together on a local radio, and they're meant to go and cover a civil war in South America. And I play a bit of a putz, who's an engineer, who for some reason loses the tickets and passports. And I suddenly realise this is radio. We can fake it. And we hold up in my friend's sort of Spanish restaurant across the road from the radio station, and we fake a war, because I can. I'm a little wizard with sound, and, you know.
And that's the thing, no one's going to know.
No one's going to know.
That's how it starts, though. It'll be fine.
Exactly. And it's sort of like a superpower. You know, everyone believes us, and we're sort of this invincible force. But, you know, like with all superpowers, you know, with great power comes great responsibility, and we get out of hand a little bit, and we get to like it too much, and we take a few too many liberties, and it starts potentially crumbling around us, and we have to get back to square one. So it's quite a caper. But I like the fact you said that it was funny all the way through, because I don't consider it like a real knockabout silly comedy. I think it was quite a grown-up comedy, but I'm glad you thought it was funny, because the story came first, and you know, I think it's an interesting watch.
There's one bit in the film, I'm not going to obviously talk about it too much because you want people to watch it, but it does go very action-y. It's like, well, I didn't expect this to happen.
Exactly. It's like a, you know, Butch Cassidy and the Sundance Kid, but slightly undercut. For something that happens,
But also, Eric Bana, he usually plays serious roles, and he's really funny in this film.
Like, he's really funny,
quick, and like, and for somebody who usually plays a serious actor and not in the comedy roles as much, is it sometimes a bit worrying they're just not going to be funny or any good?
Well, that is true, and what I didn't know is that he told me on the first day he started in comedy. I got him for all those reasons you just said, that he's this serious, brooding thespian who does action, very moody, all that. And I thought that would be great. But it turns out he's an idiot like me, which was good to find out. He's a really funny, down-to-earth bloke. So he was just perfect for the movie, because he plays this guy who's a bit... he's a bit flawed. He's a local sort of celebrity who thinks he should be bigger, but it's his own fault because he can't hold his tongue, and he likes a drink, and he's a womanizer. And then he's paired with me, who's the opposite. I'm this putz who's totally happy working in radio all his life as a little nerd. I don't even know it's I'm an underachiever till my wife tells me. So it's quite sad, and I'm a man who's never done anything extraordinary, and so I get the chance to do something extraordinary. The radio thing was a necessity here, because you can't fake a war on TV, really. So I had to go sort of quite old school. Mm. You know, even down to things like mobile phones these days, they ruin drama. Yes. So you have to either, you know, Jack Bauer, his battery has to go. Otherwise, you just call someone and say, there's a bomb in there. All right, cheers. Ciao.
See you later.
Exactly. Yeah. So you have to find ways of making it playable. And radio was just perfect.
A couple of months ago, it's like just before Christmas time, I pitched an idea, a sitcom idea, to Stephen Merchant, because I interviewed him for a special.
Right.
And he said, it's a decent idea, write it and then see what happens. So I did write it. It's really difficult to write something funny.
It is difficult, but if you've got a good idea, you should write it, because... An idea is just in your head. It's nebulous. It can be anywhere. You know, anyone can make TV. Anyone can write a song. Anyone can play football. But you can't all be David Bowie and Messi. You know, that's the difference.
The people that I've given it to read, they've said, it's actually pretty good.
Which, well, there you go.
Which was a bit of a shock because I was thinking, it's the first thing I've ever written, and I thought they were going to say, yeah, don't give up your day job, mate. Do you know what I mean?
Well, that's the other thing as well. Some people don't think that it'll happen to them. That's because we're British.
Yeah.
We don't think it'll ever happen to us. But then you see things. You know, I used to be a critic. I used to sit at home and watch telly and go, I could do better than that.
Mm.
Now, you only can say that a few times before you have to put your money where your mouth is.
Yeah.
And some people don't try. So I'd say to people out there, you should try. You should have a go at writing it. And the fun is trying. Even finding out it's hard is fun. You know, I think there's no pain, no gain. That's what I say. If it doesn't matter where you work, if you work in a chicken giblets factory, that could be a sitcom. You know, if there's something funny happened and it's exclusive to you, mm-hmm. and you do your particular blend, you know, I think where people come unstuck is try and do something they've seen or they've guessed or they think is exciting and they don't really know about it. And nothing is as good as your personal experience. It's fascinating.
I absolutely loved the Spanish couple that are in your film. I love them. They were so good. They made every time they spoke, I started laughing.
So did I when I was filming it. They were the hardest scenes because stupidity is one of my favourite things in comedy.
Yeah.
And they're so nice, but so stupid. And they were my favourite scenes filming with those because they're stupid suggestions. The fact that they're so in love and they're so sweet and they're trying to do the right thing, but they're so dim. It's so much fun.
There's a scene when America Ferrera looking through the magazine and she's saying, you know this person?
I
couldn't stop laughing.
It's because, you know, she knows Eric's on the radio, so she assumes he hangs out with Beyonce. It's like,
So the thing is, people listen to this now thinking, I've not seen it. You guys have just got an in-joke going on now. That's what it sounds like.
You've got to see it.
Would you ever write a film about the forces? I know you say that, you know, you write about what you know. I don't know if you know much about the forces.
Well, I think it's sort of been done a few times, hasn't it? There was Dad's Army, obviously.
Of course,
there was
yeah.
There was Ross Kemp's SAS. That was hilarious. I probably wouldn't tackle that. I mean, I'm not a brave person in this. I had to do a stunt was fire a gun and jump in a Jeep, and that scared me. I was dreading it for weeks to come. Then I found out that Eric Bana was a racing driver.
Yeah.
A proper bona fide.
He's really into it.
Speed freak. And so, that made me even more worried that we'd have to do this thing at the end. I'm not a brave person. If I did a war drama, I'd definitely be behind a desk telling people what to do.
Yeah, I think that's the best.
Just even in fiction.
Delegating, right, you should go to this place because it looks horrible and I don't want to
go. Exactly.
Blackadder, of course. Blackadder.
Yes.
Blackadder 4 was about war. So, it's not like it hasn't been done.
Well, look, I really want to talk to you about The Office, but I won't because we're talking about this today. But do you think we could arrange something for you to come back on the show? We'll talk about Life on the Road when that comes out. Not that The Office and Life on the Road would need to be plugged that much anyway, because there's so many people that cannot wait for it.
I know, I can't wait for it either. The film's turned out absolutely brilliantly. It is funny from beginning to end. I'm selling this better, aren't I?
Yeah.
No, but it's an easier hook because it's difficult to explain Special Correspondence, and you know, if you haven't seen it, it's hard talking about. Whereas people know what they're going to get with Brent, and they are going to get it. They're going to get it worse than they ever did before. It's funny, sad, cringeworthy. Honestly, I can't wait for people to see it.
Do you know what? I did a video the other day of me spraying aftershave, the new way to spray aftershave, and then glide into it on your desk. And the amount of comments I've had people saying, oh, you're so Brent. I'm like, thanks very much. I don't know how
that's
to take that.
That's a good idea. Don't worry about it. We're all a bit Brent. We all want to be loved. We all make a prat of ourselves. It's just that he lets a camera crew capture it.
Have you got a quick message for the British forces listening around the world?
Thank you. You're braver than me, but that's not saying much, but thank you.
Well, thank you so much, Ricky. I've been really looking forward to this. And
cheers.
And I'm so glad that...
I'll speak to you soon about the Brent movie.
Yeah, definitely. Our people talk, which basically means, because I work in radio, I'll talk to your people. That's basically what that means.
Definitely.
Thank you.
Thank you so much. Talk to you again soon.
Cheers, man.
Cheers, Ricky. Bye.
Bye.